everybody, a very warm welcome to another edition of From the Horse's Mouth. Hopefully a star-studded day at Royal Ascot, day five of a brilliant week. I'm your host, Rob Catterson, and we're joined by Frank Hickey and our super sub this week, Ruby Walsh. Ruby, you've stepped in for Matt. You've given us a dig out today.
I'd say that's about all I'm giving you is a dig out, because as I look back through what exactly I've tipped this week, Rob, I'd say people are tuning out of this podcast roundabout now, but thankfully Frank is here to try and bolster the profits, but having a pretty dismal week on the tipping and the punting front. But anyway, I'm into all the soft ground ones for the next 2 days, and hopefully I get a bit of luck.
Yeah, the rain has come. Frank, what's the first 3 days been like for you punting wise?
Oh, very frustrating, getting on massive movers and not really collecting. I did back Subjectivist Antipost and backed him again on the day of race, so that's kind of got me in a relatively healthy position. I got a few places at big prices, but like, yeah, it's frustrating when you're backing things that are, you know, collapsing in price and you're not getting paid. But look, that's the game we're in.
And Ruby, the highlight of the first 3 days for you?
I think Love was for me. I thought it was a great race to watch. I thought there was brilliant riding in it, not just from Ryan Moore, but from Colin Keane, even William Buick. I thought it was a really good race to watch. There's been some funny results, funny races, and you just realise how tactical Ascot is the more and more you watch it. Like some horses, to be drawn on the wrong side, and that's the wrong thing. I mean, we make so much of it. Which side do you want to be on? If you're not on the side with the pace, you're goosed. You see the lines that ITV have on the track. Maybe they're on Sky as well. Like, and that's how you're judging them. But you see, like, by the time they get to the 3-4 pole, one side or the other is so far in front, and that's just whichever side you're drawn with the pace, and then you have to hope the pace breaks on the side you're on. It's just definitely makes watching jumping a little easier anyway.
Yeah, and now that there's going to be soft ground, will that make the draw even more crucial?
The only place you don't want to be is in the middle, or that's the way it seemed anyway. You wanted to be left or right, either side didn't matter, but will it make it more difficult? It'll definitely make for, I think it'll make it easier. Horses will be able to make up ground. It'll make the straight a little bit longer. It'll give the closers a bit more time to get there. It'll just slow everything down and might make for less hard luck stories.
Okay, and Frank, before we move on to Saturday, unsurprisingly, we've got the Sussex Stakes priced up after Palace Pier and Poetic Flair, and obviously you've got St. Mark's Basilica in there. Touch wood, all three get to Goodwood, because that promises to be a right race.
Yeah, I'd personally be surprised if St. Mark's Basilica goes myself, but yeah, it'd be a good race, and I'd be siding with Jim's Colt over Palace Pier. Palace Pier didn't impress me at all on Tuesday, and he's not really the type of horse that blows you away anyway, the way he wins. I kind of call him a staying miler, you know. He kind of grinds out wins rather than, you know, push button acceleration. But for me, Poetic Flair was unbelievable in St. James Palace Stakes. He was brilliant, and I really thought going into the race that the fact that it was his fifth run the season already would tell. I didn't at all. It was mightily impressive, and I think he's a massive threat to Palace Pier now, and I fancy him to turn him over.
Yeah, because there's talk St. Mark's might go to the Eclipse, isn't there?
You'd imagine 10 furlongs would be more suitable for him, and potentially, I don't know whether he'll stay a mile and a half, but the fact he's won over 10 in France, they must be looking at the Arc as the, you know, the long-term plan, you would imagine, and it just wouldn't make sense to drop him back to a mile if that was what they were thinking.
Okay, right, let's crack on to Ascot on Saturday. We know one thing, it's going to be soft ground, and we're going to start with the Chesham Stakes for the two-year-olds. It's a race eight, and O'Brien's got a really good recent record, and he's won three of the last five. And Ruby, it's a Bolshoi Ballad approach here, because he's all eggs in one basket with Point Lonsdale. What do you think of his chances?
I think, Rob, he pretty much has been in the two-year-old races most of the week. I can't remember a second string. The only one we got in the frame was the horse yesterday, or Friday, what day are we on?
Cadamosto
on Thursday. Yeah, it was disappointing. Whatever they ran in the Coventry was a bit disappointing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think he's only been singly represented in most of them, so I don't think he's changing tack here. Point Lonsdale was visually very impressive in the Curra. Form of the race is quite weak. Only the runner-up has run out of the race since, and that was beaten the other day. So what unconquerable. So what he achieved, we don't know, but he couldn't have been any more impressive on the eye. And he was an easy horse to watch with his big white face. You could see how his nose was getting closer to the ground, how genuine he looked and how professional he was. So yeah, he looked like he loved the trip in the Curragh that day. It was 7 furlongs. He was yielding ground. They came up the middle of the track. He probably ticks all the right boxes. You just love if Unconquerable had gone and won next time out.
Okay. Is there anything in particular you like in this race?
Yeah, him. I couldn't see how you could go against him. He's pretty skinny at 5-4, but he's handled yielding ground. Hopefully he'll handle whatever it's going to be in Ascot on Saturday, but he's the one that looked like a stayer to me, and the test of stamina on Saturday is really going to suit him.
Okay, Frank, 10 have been declared. 7 are already winners. What's the one that you like in the session?
It's actually one that hasn't won, but we'll get to that. Like Point Lonsdale, like, to be fair, I was very impressed with how he won at the Curragh. I priced that race up. I just thought when I was pricing it, the fact he was a brother to Broom, he might just be one for a little later on in the season when he steps up and trip. But I really liked how he came under pressure just inside the two pole and he found an incredible amount. You have to be impressed with how he hit the line. And he is going to be the one to beat, but he is short enough at 5-4. I don't particularly like the Appleby horse New Science. That race he won at Yarmouth was very slowly run. He's by Lope de Vega as well. Don't have a great record at Ascot. Now, the stats do improve with the easing of the ground, so maybe it's not as big a negative, but I don't think that form of Yarmouth is that strong, potentially. And the one I'm going to go with, it's a bit of a price, and it's sweeping for Archie Watson and Holly Doyle. Now, again, I priced the maiden running at Leicester initially. When I was looking at it, I was thinking, all right, this is a horse for 10 furlongs or a mile and a half next year, and 6 furlongs around Leicester on fast ground is going to be too sharp for it. And it was a very big price, and it was very well backed, actually. I think, I can't remember what it was, it could have been 25 or 33-1. I think it went off about 13-2. I was getting a bit worried. I knew its job and debut, bounced out in front and only got passed by one. And the one that passed it was Dabab, who clocked a really impressive time that day. And if you go back and watch the Coventry, I think he was unbelievably unlucky actually in the Coventry. He was staying on nice. He got completely checked about just outside the furlong pole, switched and ran on strongly again. I think with a clear run, he'd have gone very close. I think he might have been second, potentially even have won the Coventry. And then that form looks good. When I was watching that Leicester main, I thought it was really strong for the track. The third from that race went straight into my tracker after the race as well, because I think he's very good. Triple Time, I think, is the name of that horse. And the sweeping up is just bred to improve for going up to 7 furlongs. Archie Watson nearly won this in 2018 with Nate Great. I think he was just touched off. And yeah, I think looking at the breeding as well, I'd be pretty hopeful that sweeping up would handle the ground. He's by Siouni, whose prodigy tend to handle it. Like, he's bred Sotsa, St. Mark's Basilica, and City Light are some examples of horses who've handled bad ground. And yeah, I just think at the prices, we're a little bit under. I think, are we 8 or 10-1? There's as big as 16 out there. I'd give sweeping a fair each way chance though.
Okay, Ruby, you've gone for Point Lonsdale. Obviously, it's going to be fairly short. Is he worth a super enhance, or have you something best?
You'd have to think so, Rob. I mean, Super Saturday in the shops and Paddy Powers, you'd have to think Paddy's going to super enhance Point Lonsdale. He'd look like most people's naps on a Saturday afternoon, and what better way to get the day off to a good start at 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon than taking a few extra quid off Paddy Powers?
Yeah, winning favourite in the first, that's what we all want. Right, the Jersey Stakes, traditionally I think it used to be the first race on Wednesday. A Group 3 over 7 furlongs for the three-year-olds who don't quite get a mile, this race has been known for in the past. And Frank, we'll start with you. What do you like in the Jersey?
I'm going to give Muta Sabek another chance. I think plenty of these won't handle the ground. He's a half-brother to Afak, who won the Hunt Cup and was a very close second in the Hunt Cup as well. To be very hopeful he'll handle the track, no problem. He won his maiden at Newmarket last October in heavy ground over 7 furlongs, so the ground shouldn't be any issue. Was wildly impressed from winning conditions race at Newmarket over 7 furlongs, so much so that he actually was vying for favouritism for the Guineas at one stage. Antipost drifted a little bit on the day, went off 6-1. I don't think he was disgraced in 7th. Perhaps the ground was lively enough for him that day and the mile just stretched his stamina a little. Back to 7 furlongs, easy ground. I think he's the most solid one.
Yeah, Mutas Beck. Ruby, you had a smile in your face when Frank gave his selection. Are we going for 2 votes for the shadow horse?
We are, and I was just basically going back to his win in Newmarket last October. He won on real testing ground. He's the one to go on it. He was drawing 12 in the guineas, and they definitely favour the low numbers on the day, so you can make a case for him. Khartoum absolutely sluiced it in a handicap and ace on soft ground in his last start, but that was only off a mark of 92. He got a £17 penalty for it. Would he have won with 17 more pounds on his back? Possibly. But that leaves him still £5 short of the level that Muta Sabak has run to. So, I'd be with Frank here. Jim Crowley and Charlie Hills, he's the one for me as well.
Well, if it's two votes for Muta Sabak, we better super enhance it. What do you think?
You're going to super enhance a 6-1 shot. Thank God that you're suggesting that, Rob, and not me. I'd say the lads in the trading room will really love that, won't you, Frank?
Especially for wins.
Right,
let's go on to the hard week. It's always been one of the highlights of the weekend. And Aiden's thrown the kitchen sink at this year's renewal because he's got Broome, he's got Japan, he's got Mogul, he's got Tiger Moth. They say, Ruby, if you've got four horses in a good group race, you mightn't have the winner. What do you think?
Can often be the case, but that said, I think Broome only got beaten on the car of the last day because of the trip. Helvic Dream is an improving horse at 10 furlongs, and he'd improved through the season and caught up with Broome. I think Broome is crying out to go back up to a mile and a half. I think he'll handle the ground. To step up and trip would really suit him. And to be honest with you, Rob, I'm not a massive fan of the other three. Tiger Moth, he was disappointed in the Curragh. He was chucked into the Melbourne Cup and he didn't draw. He was really good in Leopardstown last year over a mile and a half. Maybe that's where we're going back to. Maybe they think as a four-year-old he'd be a stronger horse than the Melbourne Cup, but he has to improve a hell of a lot from his run behind Helvic Dream and the Curra. Japan and Mogul, they're brothers. They just don't do it for me, and I'd be against the two of them. I think Ryan is on the right one here. Broome, he was won his first three starts this season. I think he just got chinned the last day at a mile and a quarter, back up to a mile and a half. I think he'll take all the beat.
Yeah, Japan and Mogul don't do it on soft ground either. Frank, this is a race.
Do it for me, full stop.
For a long time. He won it 3 years on the trot. He's got highest ground in the Niarchos Silk for Rushy and Murphy. Might he be value, or have you got something else for us?
No, he's definitely not. Michael Stout, obviously, a great record in Royal Ascot, but he's burned me one too many time in the last couple of years. And
you don't forget.
They have to have unbelievably strong claims now for me to back them. Noonstar yesterday was the last one I'll back for a while of his, I think. I'd agree, Ruby Broom's probably the one for Aiden, as in of Aiden's bunch. I wouldn't give up with Tiger Moth just yet. I think he probably wants better ground than he got out of the car that day. It's hard to know whether they're working back from the Melbourne Cup with these new restrictions they put in or the new criteria horses have to meet to get into the country. And just watching the interview with Aiden, was it yesterday? He was kind of suggesting a lot of them won't go this autumn.
But a red tape, it appears.
Yeah. It's basically, the Aussies getting a bit pissy because we're going down a win.
It's not. It's definitely, I think you're wrong, Frank. And I think it's a pretty serious issue. And the Melbourne Cup is their showcase race. No different the Grand National is here. And the precautions have to be taken and play by the rules. I don't agree with that.
Why? Like, so what are the criteria that they're putting in, do you think? Like, obviously no one wants to see it.
It's the X-ray and the testing to make sure the horses are 100% when they're going down, not carrying any old injuries. It's belt and braces, but if belt and braces keeps the image of racing worldwide at the right level, so be it. That's what we have to do. I think if people really want to go and win the Melbourne Cup, they'll deal with the extra precautions.
Ruby, can you see they're putting Willie off then, or will Willie's approach?
I don't. I think it'll be the same. If Willie has a horse that he really wants to bring down, most likely to be true self. Yeah, you'll jump through the loops, and I think it's a different side of the world. You know, I was only there riding once, and I could see the influence that the animal rights people had on it. You can say you're appeasing them, but if you're doing everything to make sure the sport is as safe as possible, that can't be a bad thing. And I didn't think Charlie Appleby sounded too down about it the other day. And he discussed one of his horses that won, maybe being a Melbourne Cup horse. He wasn't saying anything about the regulations. I think if they're what the Australians think are needed, then so be it.
Okay. Back to the Hardwick, Frank.
There's one here standing out like a sore thumb to me. And it's Wonderful Tonight for David Menouzier. Like, when you look at how many of them want testing ground, like Broome handle it no problem. Albufeira impressive winner here in Listed. Raced two starts ago, probably from the Coronation Cup, flying the touch too high. Thunderous should handle it. Ilrab, Hookham, and Deja. They're the ones I thought would handle it. But Wonderful Tonight excels on it. You go back and look at her form last year. She was a master improver in the second half of the season. She won a Group 3 in Deauville in August. Was fifth in the Vermoy, beaten four lengths by Tarnawa. But that was on good ground, and it was a red-hot renewal. The ground would have been ideal for her. She then went back to Longchamp on Arc weekend, won the Group 1 Prix de Royou from Pista, travelled into the race like a dream, found plenty when asked. There's always that question mark when they go to France and are winning and haven't done it at home. You know, are they truly Group 1 class? But she came back for the Fillies and Mares and Champions Day at Ascot, and she was brilliant. I loved how she travelled through the race. She absolutely cruised into the lead, turning in again, found plenty under pressure, and she won nicely, and it looked a good race. She's a proper Group 1 filly, relishing testing ground, acts on the track. She's joint top rated on a mark of 117. She gets a £3 fillies allowance. I see she's starting to move on Chocolaire. She'll see a blue, but I can see her real favourite. I think there's as big as 13-2, 7-1 there at the moment. I think she'll go off half that.
Okay, really good case made for her. Let's move on to the Diamond Jubilee, the second big sprint of the week. Obviously, 6 furlongs as opposed to the Kingstown 5. And Ruby, are we looking at horses draw near the fence for this one on soft ground?
I don't know, Rob. We're trying to predict the future, I suppose, a little bit. You probably want to be left or right, but it's just not a massive field. So stalls will be in the middle, I guess, and it'll be interesting to see where people go. I don't know. It'll be a difficult one, and it'll be interesting to see what the riders do. Will they go far side? Will they all come stand side? It'll depend. I haven't studied it well enough to know where the strongest horses are and which side they're going to go. From what stalls they're in, but it'll be interesting to see. You just can't see them from what we've watched all week.
Could be up to the middle.
Staying in the middle. I can't.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch the Duke of Cambridge, it was interesting. They went up the middle that day, except for Frankie, came down the stand side rail and in the Angel. He won very easily. Go into the race, I was struggling to make a case for her. So I think you have to go either side. You can't come down the middle.
I'm the same, and that'll depend on what happens. Like Glenn Shield likes to go forward. He's in 6, so it'll depend on what Holly does. Whether she comes left or right, whichever is shorter, I suppose, or looks the closest rail to get there. What little inconvenience. Starman is in 13. He's not necessarily a front runner. So what will Ocean Murphy do? Does he have to go all the way to the right if everybody else goes right? Or will he kind of come left on his own? Nahar was probably the one that interested me a little. I thought he just dwelt in the stalls fractionally in York the last day and ended up at the back of the field behind Starman. Now, he did have fitness on his side, Nahar, over Starman, but I thought he gave away a couple of lengths in the gate, and I could see him turning it with Starman, but I think it'd be very interesting what happens, which way they go, left or right, and soft ground, Glenn Shield, we know he handles it, and Dream of Dreams. He definitely goes with a dig in it too. He's not getting any younger, but he's a top-class sprinter as well. This, is to me, is a puzzle.
And Frank, in a race like this, 6 furlongs, Group 1 sprint, soft ground, is there any advantage being a hold-up horse or being on the pace from get-go? Or does it just come down to the type of horse?
It comes down to the type of horse. It comes down to there is an advantage to being held up over 7 furlongs in a mile on the straight track. You are at an advantage to being close to the pace over the 5 and 6 furlong trips. I think that's why Jamie Spencer is so good on those, you know, straight mile handicaps. He just can judge the pace, and he holds them up and he delivers them, you know, perfectly. For me here, this is very open. I think if the ground had been, like, you know, fast like it was in the first few days, I couldn't have Starman beaten. But now with the forecasts, or with the ground the way it is, I can nearly put a line through him. I'd be thinking he might even end up being a non-runner. And you could definitely make a case for Dream of Dreams. He's been a close second the last twice. Handles Dig, liked the track. Very solid. Glenn Shield, obviously improver last year. But I'm going to take a chance on one that ran okay here on Champions Day. Went fourth, beating the length. That's Our Power from Tim Easterby. Just a 4-year-old. You go back to last year's Royal Meeting. He was a very impressive winner of that 3-year-old sprint over 5 furlongs. Hammering Keep Busy. Keep Busy was running off, I think, 96. Our Power was running off 97. And Keep Busy ended up finishing second in the Group 1 of the car. So it was a very strong renewal of the race. Our Power is coming in here off the back of finishing 6th at York behind Starman and Nahar. but that's potentially not a bad thing when you look in recent history. The Tin Man was fifth in that very race in 2017 and came and won the Diamond Jubilee. And the year previous to that, 2016, Twilight Sun was fifth in York and came out and won this. I think conditions are very much in our power's favour. And at the prices, I think he's a four-year-old improving. He might be able to improve past a few of these.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's come on to the walking and one of the competitive handicaps, our most competitive handicaps of the week. It's an extra place race in Paddy Power. One Irish runner. We haven't won it since Dandyman back in 2012. Frank, I'll start with you because these are your bread and butter races. What wins the walking?
You're looking at an antipode, it's an awful shame that romantic proposal was left in, because I would have been basically coming on here to tell you about how far she's going to win by. But alas, she was taken out of the 5-day stage, which is very disappointing. And the one I've come down on, provided he gets a run, is Great Ambassador, who's the first reserve. Considering the ground, you'd imagine you're going to get some one non-runner anyway, hopefully. This horse, trained by Rafe Beckett, took 5 starts to get off the mark, but did run up the ass of the likes of Persuasion and Pile Driver and Maidens over 7 furlongs at Juvenile, so did show really good form. Made his reappearance last season in the Britannia off a mark of 88. The Britannia was run on soft ground last year, wasn't disgraced in 7th at all, beat 10 lengths. That doesn't really tell the story, though, the distance beat, because if you take Calusi and Finest Sounds out of it, who were just miles better than everything else that day, he was only beaten 2 lengths by the 3rd. And if you watch back the race, he travelled really well, got a little bit interfered with, maybe about 2 furlongs out, and didn't really see out the mile on the soft ground that day. It was just weakening in the final furlong. And he went back to Ascot his next start, and it was the same thing. I don't think he really stayed a mile, and finished the season going really close in handicap at Kempton over 7 furlongs off a mark of 88. He switched from Rafe Beckett then to Ed Walker, and Ed Walker's a trainer in really good form at the moment as well, having plenty of winners. But they dropped him back to 6 furlongs for the first time. And it was very impressive at Kempton, winning there. And then he's won a Newmarket the last day, went 3rd behind Chill Chill. I'm not sure Newmarket was his track. I'd be willing to forgive him that run. It wasn't terrible by any means, but I think this Ascot track would be more suitable for him. I think he'll handle the ground. Look at the way he travelled through the Britannia last year. And the fact he stays 7 furlongs as well will be an advantage, because you'll need to get every yard of it tomorrow. As I said, with Holly Doyle taking the rides, the second Holly Doyle horse I fancy tomorrow, I think the draw on 22 mightn't be too bad. He'll be able to get over to, or she'll be able to get him over to the standside rail. I think there's a lot of positives about him, and he's a very fair price. I think he's around the 20-1 mark.
Yeah, in a race that there'll be plenty of extra places floating. Ruby, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, we're paying 7 places, Rob.
Yeah.
7 places.
Okay, so 20-1, 7 places. We'll take that. Ruby, give us something that'll give us a run for our money.
I think it's a matter of being drawn left or right here. I think those in the middle are going to be at a big disadvantage. So you want to be out in the wings, left or right, which is really high or really low. Really high, maybe Dan Zeno for Ray Dawson and Michael Appleby, drawn in 29, big price, might have a shout, was 3rd and head up behind Court Dorsey back last September on soft ground. You know, it's right now 105 is probably just about at its limit, but it was placed the last twice off that rating. So, you know, I just think you want one left or right. And I'm afraid, folks, you're going to have to look down to them yourselves and figure out which ones have some bit of form and soft ground that are drawn on the left or the right. And that's what I'm narrowing it down to. I've come down on Dan Zeno, but figure it out for yourselves. It's called doing homework.
Absolutely. Homework never goes amiss. Right, let's come on to one of the newer races, the Golden Gates Handicap. It's the best part of a mile and 2. It's for 3-year-olds only. There's no doubt about it. We've got some group horses in waiting here. 3 Irish runners. Joseph's got 2. He's had 5 winners in the last week. So, Ruby, is there a good chance Ireland are going to strike here?
They have a squeak anyway, Rob. Obviously, Joseph rides Visualization, won well at the Curragh on its last start, is one of his. Declan McDonough takes the ride on that. Joseph's second one is what?
Number one.
Joseph was unlucky last night, actually, or yesterday evening, in the last handicap. Shane Cross was unlucky. Isle of Sark, Adam Kirby rides. fifth behind Kypreos in his last start. That definitely has to improve. And higher up, obviously, the third Irish runner is Baton Rouge for Ryan Moore and Aidan behind Star Harbour on his last start. I think they all have to improve. The interesting jockey booking for me, and it's not out of the blue, but he doesn't ride from that often, is Frankie for Mark Johnson on King Franklin.
Good Ascot record if you go back over the years.
Yeah, I just thought that was an interesting jockey booking. And that's probably Saturday afternoon punter talk, but I noticed.
Yeah, well, he ran on the Saturday afternoon. I think he ran on Derby Day when he was just touched off Frank, and plenty to be jumping on the Frankie factor. Obviously, Saturday of running, we all remember.
He was unlucky probably at Ascot. I think he'd run second in the London Gold Cup handicap at Newbury, which is traditionally a very strong handicap. Horses who do well in that are generally, you know, group horses in the making. And he's very obvious. The one I liked taking a bit of a chance on here is Without Revenge for Roger Charlton by Moorhart out of a Loop de Vega mare. I used to be pretty hopeful that he'll handle the ground. Took him three starts to get off the mark. And probably needs a reappearance of touch when third and handicap debut at Sandown off 80. But he was different proposition completely when stepped up to 10 furlongs at Newmarket. Routed in the opposition, very strong in the final furlong. I really liked how he hit the line. The one thing I would say is, admittedly, that form has worked out terribly. Everything in behind has been hammered. But I do like when Roger Charlton has these progressive three-year-old handicappers, they can really take off. And he's gone up £10 to a mark of 90. But again, the price just drawn me in a little bit. Like, I think again he's around the 20-1 mark. The manner which he won the last day would suggest to me he's a good deal better than even 90. And yeah, like with King Frankel is the obvious one. I just thought Without Revenge was a price worth chancing.
Okay, and then Alexandra Stakes. All right, Ireland have got a real good record in four of the last nine. Two of those have gone to Willie. So Ruby, the main reason we've called you up with Super Sub is to get your take on Stratton, because he's getting on. Is he well handicapped, though?
He doesn't help me because it's not a handicap. It's a conditions race, so whether he's well handicapped or not is probably irrelevant. He's off 112. I wouldn't think he's particularly well handicapped, but that's not going to matter. Falcon 8 was very good in the Chester Cup. If I had one worry about Falcon 8, he did take a fair bite in the Chester Cup, which is a really competitive handicap over 2.25 miles around a fast, tight, turning track like Chester. The Queen Alexander starts down at almost a mile start. Ascot's in a run all the way up the track in a straight line and then turn and race downhill to Swindy Bottom. He'll have to settle better than he did at Chester if he's going to last out this trip on the Frankie Dettori. Big field, he should be able to get cover, but he's going to have to switch off, which he didn't really do at Chester. And that would be my worry with him. Stratton, I think the extreme distance might bring about a little bit of improvement in Stratton. He most certainly, like the rest of us, is getting a little slower as he's got a little older. And I think going this distance would really suit him. He could have ran in the Gold Cup. Willie is elected to come here. And I think, yeah, I could see MC Muldoon just got chinned. This fella might make up.
Yeah, because conditions do favour him. He's the highest rated in the race and he's getting a few pounds off the top two. And Ryan's got a good record for Willie. I know he obviously won on a couple, but he rode Maxa and Thomas Hobson in this race as well. So it's a race Willie sort of tends to book Ryan early for his main ones.
Yeah, he does. They both obviously won on the Tuesday before they came back to win here on the Saturday. They were doubling up, but did he win it on Pick Sue as well, Rob? Yeah, but yeah, Stratton, don't know if he's as progressive maybe as Pick Sue was, but I think he's got that bit of age and doggedness about him, and I think he'll love the trip.
MC Muldoon and Raya were both in this race earlier in the week after running Tuesday, so the fact that he's relying on Stratton, is that a case of he's happy with Stratton, or maybe the other two just hit the profile?
Well, the other two, neither of them managed to win the handicap off the ratings they had, which were both below 100, so they were theoretically going to be a long way wrong with Stratton, let alone Falcon 8 and whatever else here, so it just didn't make sense to run them, really.
Okay, fair enough. Frank, so Ruby's liking Stratton. What do you like?
Yeah, the one thing I would say about horses trying to double up, it'll probably become more difficult looking at the way the race, this race has become. Like, if you go back 5 or 6 years, maybe not even that far back, you wouldn't have as many horses rated as highly running in this race as you have now. Like, you look at a Stratton's rated 112, Barbados and Falcon 8 are rated 110, Mildenberger and Staghorn are rated 108, and Miranda with Holder rated 107. Like, normally you'd be getting maybe four or five rated at over 100 running this, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. So it's definitely improving.
No, you're spot on. And that's why when Willie's horse might win on the Tuesday, you factor in the penalty, thinking they're going to get 8 or 10 pounds, and we're even spot on here. So that's all you would have, as Frank said, yeah, you know, back in time. But I don't know, is that because of Stradivarius? Some of these may have taken a chance in the Gold Cup or ducking it. I'm not sure, but there's highly rated horses in it now.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming better. Look, Stratton's the obvious one, but again, the prices and the way the ground's going, it might be a very big day for Holly Doyle if I'm right here, because I like Carmelite here again. Staghorn, just can't get away from him. He's a double figure price in places. Now the ground's gone testing. He's only a 4-year-old. I think he's owned plenty of improvement. Didn't win a maiden, but did win his handicap debut at Goodwood last June off a mark of just 76. But he finished the season with 3 consecutive wins, winning between 1.6 and 2.2 miles on ground ranging from good to heavy. He finished the season bolting up in a Pontefract conditions race over 2.2 mile on soft ground, beating the Grand Vizier by 9 lengths. The Grand Vizier had been touched off in this race, the Queen Alex, last year, by Who Dares Wins, and he was second in this year's Chester Cup off a mark of 103. Now, Staghorn would have been getting the 3-year-old allowance, but still, to hammer the Grand Vizier is fairly solid form in the context of this type of race. He was only 4th in the Sagaro then on his reappearance, but I think he shaped like he needed it, and the ground was good to form that day as well, which wouldn't have suited him at all. I think getting back a more testing ground, you know, 2.2 mile around Pontefract, there's a really stiff finish there. I'd have no issue with him staying the trip, and the ground's in his favour, and he's a fair price. And what I think Stratton might be hard to beat, Staghorn will give you a run for your money each way, and we're paying 4 places.
Okay, we've been light enough on the Super Enhancers, Ruby, so I think we better do something with Stratton. Frank gives him a good chance. You seem fairly bullish, so the last race of Royal Ascot, can we do something for the people in the shops?
Yeah, I'd say, look, if we're relying on Stratton, yeah, Rob, I think you should Super Enhance him. I mean, the 2 handicaps prior to this are difficult. I think it was Outsiders we were probably tipping in the
Golden Gates.
Gold Jubilee, was it?
No.
Diamond Jubilee, whichever one it was. But yeah, I think, yeah, boost Stratton there. Send him up there. He's 9-2 at the time of recording. I'm sure you can do something about that.
Okay. Naps time. A little birdie has told me now, I'm only the messenger, but I'm told you might need a little bit of help on this front. Now, I'm including Paddy in there
I certainly do anyway.
So it'll be nice to bounce back. So we'll all give an appa. And Frank, let's start with you. Let's get the Trixie up with a winner.
Well, it'd be bloody good if I had a nap that actually ran. I think the last 3 or 4 of them haven't even run. Yeah. They've been taken out. And I'm going to go with the Hardwick, and I'm going to go with Wonderful Tonight as my nap. I think just go back and watch her win at Ascot last season at the end of it. Very taking, and I think the conditions are ideal. I really hope she wins.
Okay, that's the first of the tricks. Leg 2 goes to you, Ruby.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go for the same race, but I was going to go for Broom, so I won't do that, and I will switch to Muta Sabek. I think he's a good price in the jersey.
Okay, Frank goes for him, and I'll go for Point Lonsdale. Look, the real deal. I'll be backing him on Saturday, and I'll be taking the 20s for guineas, I think.
Did the little birdie forget to tell you couldn't tip favourites?
No, I didn't get that memo.
You couldn't nap the favours. Like, I got talked out of napping love, and I'll talk out napping something else. But anyway, all right, Rob. PK is not around to overrule you.
Winners are winners, not right.
We'll let it go. I have the same opinion, but he's not letting me play that way.
We got him anyway, so he's in there. Well, that's the naps. Hopefully we've got 3 winners, and it's been a great week. Father's Day Sunday, you're obviously fathers. Frank, you're a newbie compared to Ruby. Any plans for Sunday Father's Day?
I'm actually going down to the old head of Kinsale to play golf on Saturday. So I might have a few pints down.
He's doing something. He's doing something. And, not Ruby, is he? He's getting out for golf on Father's Day.
Yeah, no, fair play to him. We were all supposed to go to a pony club event, but sadly they've all been cancelled this weekend because of the tragic accident that happened during the week to Tiggy Hancock at Green Oak. So they're all off, and I think we will ride the ponies at home and think about poor Tiggy.
Yeah, maybe have a barbecue as well. Right, that's it. It's been a pleasure as always. We'll have our PK. We'll have a festival focus concentrating on the Irish Derby early next week. But let's hope we can all have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll get lucky, and remember to bet responsibly. It's all about having a bit of fun as well as trying to make a few quid. And we'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, and stay lucky as well as staying safe.